Hello and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello.
How's your week been?
Yeah, it's been a tricky one, but we're getting by. It's been hot.
Tricky.
Hot.
It's been hot, but then we've broken the back of the heat wave now. We've had storms, we've had rain, torrential rain, almost biblical amounts of rain in certain areas, haven't we?
Yeah, wasn't it a month's worth in a day or something?
So it was. I was a bit disappointed by the storm. I really wanted a full-on, almost dangerous storm.
I know. I mean, there is nothing I love more than a really good thunder and lightning storm. And I thought a cracker was on the way. But you're right. It was a bit underwhelming, wasn't it?
Yeah. I used to be terrified of storms as a kid. But as I've got older, there's something, I don't know whether it's the slight danger of it, but there's something quite exciting about it. And I quite like that. Particularly when it's right overhead. Because there is that fear that your house could get struck. There was a house struck somewhere I saw that made the news. But obviously you don't want that. You're not wishing that on anyone. But there is something exciting. I'm sure I've told you the story before about when I was yards away from a tree got struck by lightning. And to see the destructive power after that and the bits of wood, charred wood, that was spread across the road was quite exciting. Although I was absolutely shit scared at the time. I was only about, I don't know, 6 or 7.
I bet you were. I mean, you must have been counting your lucky stars. I mean, a few feet the other direction, that could have been you.
Yeah, I was in the house. I was in the house and it was a tree opposite, almost opposite the house. And it was just the noise of it to start with was incredible. I don't think we'd realised there'd been a strike until the fire engine started rolling up down the road. And I was with my aunt and my uncle. My uncle took me out to have a look what was going on. And there was just all this charred wood. And it was all very exciting because I had to chop the tree down. It was dangerous. So I think even though that absolutely terrified me and actually put me back in my getting over fear of storms, but now I quite like it.
I hate to do it, but I've kind of got to question the sanity of your uncle. I mean, did your parents know that, you know, a tree has just been felled by the gods and his sort of, you know, parenting skills was to think, to take the little boy to the scene of the devastation the storm is still going on?
Well, not right. No, I think the storm had passed by the time we went out because then the fire engines arrived. So it wasn't like the tree was struck and my uncle went, right, come on, let's go. It wasn't quite like that because I think I was cowering underneath the table for a while after that. But I think once it had calmed down a little bit and the fire, because, you know, I'm 6 or 7, I've got over my fear once there's a fire engine involved. When you're 6 or 7, fire engine. I want to see what's going on here.
I think this is just proof that in extreme weather conditions, people do very strange things.
It was quite safe. It was quite safe by then. He also took me once when down about 2 roads away, a house was struck by lightning. I might have told you this before. And again, later in that day, he took me around just to have a little look. And again, there were fire engines aplenty. The roof had been blown off. I mean, it was like amazing.
That's incredible. You see what I mean?
I always remember that day though, because that, again, I was quite young. I must have been again about 6. We always used to go and see my aunt and uncle on I think it was a Thursday afternoon. And we knew that the weather was turning because I've never known it to become so dark during the day. It sort of became almost like night. All the street lights came on. And I remember my dad driving us to my aunt and uncle's house, even though it's only a 2-minute walk away. He drove us because he was like, let's just get you there. And this almighty storm hit.
Come on, kids, all in the big metal box for the lightning storm.
Well, no, a car is a very safe place to be.
Yes, that's true, isn't it, actually? Because they're grounded or something because of the rubber on the tyres.
That's it. So it's a very safe place to be. Obviously, he only dropped us off in a house, which is more dangerous. I'll tell you what was frightening as a kid, is being in a tent when there's a big storm going.
Well, I can't think of anything worse.
That used to be quite scary, especially when the wind would blow up and you'd hear my dad get up in the middle of the night to put the storm poles up. You always knew if the storm poles were going up, that things had got serious. Because these are like poles to reinforce the tent. just to stop it being blown away.
This is just proper mental English behaviour, isn't it? You know, we've got a piece of cloth protecting us from this torrential storm. Let's go outside and sleep in it. It's ridiculous.
we couldn't afford any other holidays. It was always camping. We always went camping. We used to go to Wales most summers in my childhood, and it would piss it down most of the time we were there. And on one occasion, I don't remember it thunder and lightning, but it rained so much that we had to move the tent onto higher ground because we were literally flooded out. The water was, I forget how high the water was in the tent, but we were certainly paddling. Now, if that had been me at the time, I was thinking, why don't we just pack up and go home?
Exactly.
But no, you see, my parents weren't like that. We were brought up that, yeah, you're on holiday. We've got 2 weeks allotted for this holiday. We're having it. So we just moved the tent to higher ground. It was survival techniques.
I kind of respect that sort of literally come hell or high water. Yeah, we are having this holiday.
There was another time where we had to dig. I say we, I don't remember doing it myself, but my family, I was with, dug trenches around the tents to try and ease the water coming into the tents because it was raining so much.
You know what? I'm glad that's where that story went. I thought they were digging a trench for something else.
No. I mean, there was a toilet block on this site. Very, very basic. It was a campsite owned by a farmer who really didn't give a shit about it being a campsite. And it was the most basic of... there was no hot water, as far as I remember.
It's the holiday of a lifetime.
None of the facilities were ever cleaned. And then years later, I went back to that part of Wales because I hadn't been for years. I had a hankering to go back. And I went to visit the campsite and it was still exactly the same. Exactly the same. The facilities hadn't changed.
Probably hadn't been cleaned.
So it probably not. Probably not been cleaned in all those years. That was just the sort of camping holidays we used to have. But we used to go every year and it was all very exciting because there were the same groups of people that would be there every year. We had to be rescued once.
Rescued?
Yeah, because the campsite was on... the estuary would run along the bottom of the campsite, right? And you had to cross one of the channels to get to the estuary. And we went fishing, I think, one evening. And we misjudged the time to come back. And we basically couldn't get across the channel. So it was a case of we either had to sit on this bit of grass until the tide went out again. Or we waited for the people that we got to know on the campsite to come with a little rubber dinghy and rescue us.
Blimey.
So it was always exciting. You never quite knew what was going to happen.
Well, you know, I suppose you have got a lot of fond memories to look back on from this very strange choice of holiday, but that's always a good thing.
Almost got drowned fishing with my granddad as well. We went down the estuary to go fishing and the tide started coming in. And I remember saying to my granddad, do you think we should head back? And my granddad goes, no, it's fine. We got time before the channels get too deep for us to cross. So, okay, fine. And then the tide came in far quicker and we had to wade across these channels. And it was up to almost my neck, I seem to remember.
Is there a sort of statute of limitations on, you know, contacting child services?
Well, the thing is, it was fun. It was great fun, you know, and even to my, you know, my granddad's last years, we'd often joke about that. You know, I'd often say, do you remember, granddad, we went fishing and we almost drowned? Do you remember? And we'd have a great, we'd always have a laugh about it because we were fine. We were fine.
Yeah, I suppose it all worked out in the end.
That's what holidays were about.
I think this is further proof that, you know, in these extreme weather conditions, we do very strange things. It's a very British thing, I think. And I noticed one story in the news this week of a, have you seen the story about the businessman from Dublin, the mattress salesman or bedding salesman, I should say?
No.
Yeah, his name is Michael Flynn, and he's gone a bit viral after he put up a sign in his shop.
Now's not the time to be going viral. We've had enough of that.
The sign reads, no bra money.
No bra money?
Yeah. So then he's written underneath it, due to increasing temperatures and for our own personal safety, we will not be accepting bra money. Sorry for any inconvenience.
What do you mean bra money? What is bra money?
And then he signs it Mattress Mick, as he's known.
Mattress Mick. Yeah. That's a lovely nickname.
Now, bra money.
What do you mean, bra money?
Bra money is when a woman will, or I suppose anyone wearing a bra, keeps their...
Very inclusive of you, Ben.
Thank you very much.
Very 2021. Well done.
They carry their cash or their notes or whatever tucked into their bra.
Do they? Is that really a thing?
Well, it must be a thing in Dublin, at least, because Mattress Mick, he's felt the need to not only just ask one person, he's felt the need to put up a sign.
Wow. I didn't know that was a thing. I mean, I suppose if you're going out in the heat with very little on, you don't want to be carrying a bag with money. But and I suppose it's a decent receptacle for notes. You wouldn't want to put change in a bra, would you?
No, I don't think so.
But notes, yeah, that'd be fine. But I suppose, yeah, in the climate we're in at the moment, everything should be, yeah, cash shouldn't be exchanging hands anyway. We should be talking about credit card payments anyway.
Yeah, contactless at all times if you can.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's caused a bit of a stir because it went viral because everyone was sort of saying, oh, you need to print this sign off for my shop. And I thought, wow, this is really a thing, this bra money thing. I knew it was a thing that some women did, you know, would reach into the old bra to get out a bit of money, or even I've seen a phone before pop out the bra.
Wow.
But one strange thing, and I think you're going to be on my side because I knew this phenomenon existed, but then things took a weird turn when some people accused him of being sexist. Now, can you think why?
Well, not really. I mean, if is he not allowing men to wear bras? Is that what the deal is here? I don't quite understand.
No, that's not why it was. The reason he was called sexist was because it was aimed at people wearing bras, most commonly will be women. So they were saying, well, this is sexist because men also carry money in their underwear. One commenter saying, what about men with sweaty bollocks? No singling the women out.
Yeah, but we haven't got the money directly in contact with our sweaty bollocks. There's normally pocket fabric with some sort of protection. Sure, if I was giving you money that had been in contact with my bollocks, no one wants that.
No, but
some people that would want it, but
there are some places
weird.
On the internet for that kind of thing. But I don't think she means that, because surely no one's confusing a pocket with your underwear, are they?
No, but who's putting money in their underwear?
Well, that's exactly my point. I was going to ask you, but I think it's abundantly clear the answer is going to be no. Have you ever met any other male human being or person wearing boxer shorts or tighty whities, if that's your thing, who keeps money in their pants?
No, I've never.
No, not. Not once in my life have I ever heard of this.
Although, the only thing I can think is, I do see a lot of people, generally the youth, walking around in their tracky bottoms, often with their hands down the front of their trackies. And I've never understood that. I was thinking, can't you leave yourself alone when you're out and about? Like, what are you holding on to or protecting? But maybe they've got all their money down there.
Maybe that's what they're doing.
They're holding on down there for dear life because that's where all their money is. So they've always got to be in contact with it because they're worried about losing it. Or, I mean, that would be one hell of a mugging if you're going for that, wouldn't it? but maybe that's what people do. I've just always thought it's a very weird thing.
Mind you, it could be a stroke of absolute genius. I haven't ever mugged anyone in my life. But if I was going to plan it out, after I, you know, check their pockets, it would never occur to me to check their underwear.
No.
And also, as far as crime goes, if you start doing that, you're escalating quite a lot. You know, there's more jail time coming for what you're doing now.
Yeah, but then you get into, you know, if you end up in jail, then perhaps that is the time when you have to start storing stuff elsewhere. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to sort of find special pockets to to store things in if you don't want them to be found out by the narcs, you know?
So do you admire Mattress Ming or... Mattress Ming? Sorry,
Mattress Ming. He's...
No, I won't say that. He's Mattress Mick. Do you admire him for that?
No, of course I don't admire him. Right? He's a moron. Moron Ming, what I'm going to call him from now on.
He's made his bed, he's got a lie in it.
Yeah. got a bit of bad news for you, Ben.
Oh, no. Go on.
Spider season has started early this year.
Oh, shit.
I had one this week. I'm not normally expecting them till August, mid-August, but I had one this week. Honestly, it was so big. It was so big.
Did you get a picture?
I didn't get a picture because that wasn't in the forefront of my mind. What was in the forefront of my mind is, how do I tackle this thing? Now, I have got much better with dealing with spiders over the years. I've had to live on my own. I got used to it, right? But this one, it did make me really think about how I'm going to tackle this thing. It was huge. The worst thing was I'd actually missed it somehow. I'd walked past it to start with. It was on the wall going up the stairs and I was going to bed. So I'd walked up the stairs, not noticed it, even though it was that big that it could have tripped me up if it wanted to. I missed it.
Just stick a leg out.
And I got to the top of the stairs and looked back and it's like, fucking hell. And then I had to really steel myself to pass it again, to come down the stairs to get the spider trap.
Maybe you didn't walk past it. Maybe if it was that big, it saw you going up and it started following you.
Well, this is what I started to think about, right? Because I thought this thing, because I wasn't sure, you know, as I say, I've got better with spiders, but as I was really thinking about how I'm going to have to get past it, all these things were going through my mind that I know are bullshit. This is what a phobia does. And I know that you are phobic. You are arachnophobic.
Yeah, I see. The last encounter I had with a spider that didn't die was back when I lived at home with my parents many, many years ago. I may have told you this story before. I basically managed to trap it under a pint glass, put a yellow pages on top of the glass in case it somehow, you know, lifted it off, which frankly, it looked to me like it was capable of.
Yeah.
And then I just left the house.
Right.
I put a note on the front door warning them of what they were going to find.
Right. Well, what happened to it?
Oh, I think that, you know, the two adults.
Yeah.
I say adults. I was probably in my teens, but the two sort of proper grown-ups of the house arrived and dealt with it properly.
Going back to when I was proper arachnophobic, like absolutely terrified, right? There was quite a big spider in my kitchen and I managed to get a Tupperware container and I just sort of threw it at it and it landed on top of it. I knew that my nan would be coming to my house the next day, even though I'd be out. So I left her a little note. I said, Nan, there's a spider under the Tupperware container in the kitchen. Would you mind? This is my nan who used to feed spiders. I know she wasn't scared of them. I knew that she'd be the right person.
Yeah.
I got home. The Tupperware container was no longer on the floor. I thought, oh, spider's gone, right? A few days, maybe a few weeks went by, and I eventually spoke to my nan. And my nan said, I need to confess something to you. I didn't actually get it out. I picked the container up and it just ran. It just ran for its life under the cooker. So for all I know, it's still there. For all I know, it could still be there. But so just a warning that just because you've got adults in the house dealing with them doesn't mean it's been dealt with, Ben.
Right. That's a concern. I mean, I've since left the county, so I think I'm okay.
Right. So anyway, I had to pass the spider and I start to think, like, I'm genuinely a bit frightened of it because it's that big, right? So I'm starting to think, will it attack me?
Oh, come I'm on, how big could this have been?
I'm genuinely thinking, will it attack me? Because I've got to get quite close to it. So I basically just, I ran for it, ran down the stairs, and there was like a cold shiver go through me as I passed it. It was like horrible. Got the trap. And then because there's that fear that while you've gone to get the trap, it's made its move.
Now, your parents ever teach you not to run on the stairs? I mean, of course they didn't. They like to lead you outside in thunder and lightning storms.
Look, this is an emergency, mate. You know, like in an emergency, you know, you hear these stories of people getting superpowers because there's the adrenaline's running. I think that's what happened. I could run on the stairs without fear of hurting myself. That's the superpower I gained from having to pass this giant arachnid.
You sound immensely confident, but imagine if I, you know, Time passes. It's 7:30. It's due time to record with Trevor. Oh, that's funny. He hasn't sent me the email. Well, that's funny. He's not answering his phone. Oh, he's not even read the message either. Oh, he's still not answering. And a week's gone by and you've fallen down the stairs and broken your neck because of a bloody spider.
Well, that's the risk. It's either that or burn the house down. You've got to weigh up your options, haven't you? So I got downstairs. And then, because as I say, that's the fear that by the time I've got the trap, it's made its move and has taken over the upstairs and planted its flag, and that would be the end of upstairs. I'd have to essentially become like a bungalow.
Well, the spider would have annexed the house.
Yeah, yeah. But luckily it was still on the wall. And then there's that awful moment, you get the trap over it, because I still don't believe, I've had this trap for years, I've talked about this trap before, it's a very effective trap, but I do wish it had a longer handle on it. The handle is probably only a foot long. And that's not long enough. Do you know what I mean?
Well, why don't you patent a version of this thing with a longer handle? You know, the coward's version of this spider catching tool.
Well, okay. I mean, you know, I just think someone else should be doing this sort of stuff. I don't see why it has to fall on me all the time, but that's fine.
Or just rig it to a 9-foot pole with a bit of string on the other end.
I've done that before, and it doesn't quite work because it often doesn't. Because unless you can get it really secure, I've had it on the end of a 13-foot fishing rod before.
And, you are joking.
No. This was years ago when I was in my flat. Again, height of my arachnophobia. There was a big spider in the bathroom, and it was in the corner, up on the ceiling, and I really felt I couldn't enter the bathroom whilst it was in there. So I thought the only thing I can do is to attach the trap to the end of my 13-foot fishing rod, because then I could, right from the door, try. But that didn't work. It didn't work because the fishing rod's a bit too bendy. By the time I put the trap against the wall, I think I gaffer taped it. That had all come off. I don't know where the spider ended up. The bathroom was out of bounds for several days after that, all I can tell you.
Right? So you became the unwashed for like a week while this thing...
Yeah, yeah.
And how did you... And presumably the toilet was in the bathroom.
Well, when I say it was out of action for a week, that's probably an exaggeration. But it was certainly... I didn't like being in there for a little while. Because also, let me tell you another story in that bathroom. And I reckon, you know, you can laugh at me all you want, bearing in mind that I'm probably more fearless now of spiders than you are. So let me run this one by you.
Go on.
This is when I was in my flat. I'm in the bath. So I'm so vulnerable. And there, running along the side of the bath, ooh, is a huge spider. Right. So I leap out.
Thing is, you are fairly vulnerable in the bath, aren't you?
Very vulnerable. I mean, you're probably not, because if it gets in the water, it'll just drown. But I don't want it. I didn't want it that near me. I certainly didn't want it in the water with me. So there it was on the bath, right? And I ran out the bathroom. I'm at the door of the bathroom. And honestly, I'm going to tell you this. It was on the side of the bath. And it leapt a long way. You know, like when they say like a flea can jump the equivalent of the height of a house or whatever they say.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it would have been like that. And it leapt from the side of the bath to behind the bathroom door.
Wow.
Quite a distance, and disappeared down a hole that was in the corner of the room where a pipe came in.
Ooh.
Terrifying, right?
I mean, I'd have been trying to think of what I could reach to smash it with, but probably...
It all happened too
fast.
Bottle
of shampoo.
It all happened. Oh, it was too fast. There was not much I could do. It was fight or flight. And I decided it was flight was the best option at that moment. So anyway, back to this one.
Yes.
In the house, right? So I get the trap. I managed to put the trap over it, managed to shut the door. Now, bear in mind how big this spider is. It barely fits in the trap. I mean, it's huge. And then here's where... I want to run this by you. I don't know if this was cruel or not.
Bearing in mind you're talking to someone who would have killed it dead quicker than you could blink.
Yeah.
I don't think I'll find it cruel, no.
Because this was about 11 o'clock at night. And I thought, I'm not going to release it now. For two reasons. One, I think it can be incarcerated overnight, just so it can have a think about what it's done.
I mean, now you are just essentially keeping it hostage or prisoner in a very confined...
Yeah, and for a spider, I'd imagine 8 hours is a, you know, feels a long time.
At least my you know, death penalty is swift.
But I didn't... The other reason I didn't want to release it was because you've got to go down the end of the garden. You don't want to release it too near the house, right? And I didn't want to give it the advantage of night time. I thought it's already...
Did it have night vision goggles? What do you mean, give it the advantage of night?
It's already got a limb advantage. And but, you know, it could already do some damage. Give it night time where I can't really see... They're black, right? I can't see it against the night time. God knows what kind of move it's going to make. You could have found me semi-devoured in the garden the next morning had I have... Because, I mean, you know, I don't think I'm impressing on you how big this thing was. I mean, when I say release at the end of the garden, it would have taken up half the garden once I'd released it.
Have you considered taking it out the front of the house and then going to the street,
yeah,
which will have street lights, so you know, there's not the darkness issue there,
yeah,
and you could just plop it straight down a drain?
Well, down a drain?
You know, down the grates in the road.
Yeah, well, wouldn't it just drown in the rainwater that would have...
Well, then it fend for itself.
Okay. Well,
do they instantly drown if they go in water?
I don't think they're particularly... I mean, considering they've got all those fucking arms and legs, they're shit swimmers. But they should be able to swim better than most creatures with all of those limbs.
You'd have thought so.
Do you know what I mean? But you put them in water, they're like, fucking useless. Absolutely useless in water. But also the other thing about taking it out the front is you don't want to bump into anyone you know. It's all a bit out the front, it's a bit public. Do you know what I mean? So the garden is the best option. So anyway, the morning came and I did release it. I took it out the end of the garden. Ideally, you want to release it into next door's garden, but that looked a bit obvious in daylight. So I didn't do that. So I think now it owns the shed and the bottom of the garden, because I haven't been down there since.
I think that's fair enough. You know, it's got its bit of the house now, and it's not quite as much as you were initially thinking.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way, I've just Googled, do spiders die in water?
Yeah.
And Google has just sassed me.
What do you mean Google's just sassed you?
Honestly.
What's it say? Because of course they fucking
do. The question was, do spiders die in water?
Yeah.
Google pops up, no, they drown. All right. Fucking grammar police.
Google's got a bit of an attitude on it tonight.
It does. Fuck off, Google.
So the spider season started early, so it's a warning to anyone that doesn't particularly like spiders, be on your guard. The heat has brought them out, and they're all just biding their time.
You're going to have to get the conkers out.
Well, you keep saying, tell me that every year.
I don't mean have another bath, by the way.
it's by where I keep my money. But I just, because the other thing I've done recently is, you know, I've been doing all some painting in the house. I did disturb what I think was a little spider's nest, and I unleashed a lot of little spiders around the house.
Oh, for the love of God.
And I mean, they are very, very little, but I tell you what, the webs they are weaving, it's ridiculous. Like, some mornings I come down the stairs and they've obviously come down the stairs and have made their home around the front door. But I mean, sometimes it's like going into the Addams Family house. It's ridiculous, these fucking things. And I think they're working to trap me. And I think now that perhaps they've seen me catch it, who knows, that could be in its mother, father. I don't know. But I could be on the spider death list.
If that was the mother, and I'm not saying this to freak you out, it's just something to think about at night.
Yeah.
If that was the mother, and that was the offspring scattering into 1,000 different corners of your house.
Oh, God.
That means they all have the potential to grow up to mama's size.
Oh, I know. Well, in that case, the house will be done. I mean, we know coming back from that sort of invasion, that would be the end of it. I tell you the other thing about the spider that I don't think anyone's ever talked about before, and I tell you this from first-hand experience, from maybe last year or the year before. I was sitting in my living room, And you know that you get that little movement that you just see out the corner of your eye that makes you jump a little bit.
Yeah.
So I saw that. It's like, oh, fuck, it's a spider. And as I say, if I see it running across the floor in the front room, I mean, it's all right. I'll go and get the trap. But again, it was nighttime. I thought, oh, it's in the trap. I'll release it in the morning. I tend to always leave them for a few hours. I always think that's a fair enough punishment for trespass. So I go and sit back down again. And I'm telling you, no word of a lie, about a minute, 2 minutes later, another one comes running out and runs towards the one in the trap.
Did it have a little crowbar?
But it was almost like I trapped one half of a couple, right. And the other one was like, right, I'm to the rescue. And I think I had to go and get a glass or something and put that one over that. So, I mean, I had a right old ding dong, and, you know, I left them both there overnight. I'd imagine they'd be sort of looking at each other through the
sign
plastic
language
and the glass. Well, they're very good at sign language with eight legs. They can do all kinds of fucking symbols, you know what I mean? And no, I've never heard anyone talk about that, let's say no one's ever talked about it. I've never looked into whether spiders couple for life, whether, you
well,
know.
I would Google it for you, but frankly, I can fuck right up.
Now, Ben, I know you like a good quiz.
I do, yeah.
And, I mean, literally before we started recording today, I was sent a quiz.
Really?
Yeah, and the thing that made me think this was interesting, this was all on Facebook, somebody sent me a link to this, was because this is branded as the unbeatable knowledge quiz.
Does that mean it's extremely difficult?
Well, I don't know whether it's the word unbeatable makes you think this is going to be a quiz that you can't beat, right?
So you thought, I know the idiot to use this on.
Well, no, the thing is, I thought, well, let's give it a go together.
Okay.
Because I've only seen the first question. I think the first question's easy, but I don't know whether that's just setting you up, getting you in the mood. There's only 10 questions, but I thought we'd go through it and just see how easy or difficult this is and see whether we can beat the unbeatable knowledge quiz.
Fun. Does it reveal the answers as you go, or will you see it when you scroll down?
I have no idea how this works, because I didn't want to look at it until we did this. So
let's do it.
I'll see how it goes. Right, so question one. Which bird, they're all multiple choice, by the way.
Okay.
Which bird shares its name with a country? I mean, if this is unbeatable, I don't know what planet they're living on. But this is only question one. The options are toucan, jay, chicken, turkey.
Well, that would be turkey.
Yeah, you'd have thought turkey is the answer, wouldn't you?
Well, very much so, yes.
Right. Okay, I think what I have to do is select the answers, and then they'll give us the how we do at the end. I think that's the way it's going to go.
I think we can comfortably sail past question two. I've got this horrible feeling that it's either going to be 9 easy questions to trick you into thinking you're doing really well and really smart,
yeah,
and then question 10 is a killer, or you eventually find out at the end that they were all somehow a really finickety verbal trick question that catches you out in some tiny detail.
Well, let's move on. Question number two. Who was a fascist prime minister that came to power in 1922 and ruled Italy as an absolute dictator? The options are Vittorio Emanuele Orlando, Pietro Badoglio, Benito Mussolini, or Luigi Facta.
A very beautiful pronunciation, may I say.
Well, thank you.
I believe the answer will be Mussolini.
I would have thought Mussolini would be the answer there, wouldn't you?
Yes.
Right, okay. Question number three. It doesn't seem that hard so far. Right, question number three. Anne Sheridan and Ronald Reagan were purportedly the original choices for the Bogart and Bergman roles in what movie? Casablanca, The Maltese Falcon, To Have and Have Not, or The Petrified Forest?
Yeah, Humphrey Bogart was Casablanca, wasn't it?
Yeah, Play It Again, Sham, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I only know that. I've never seen the film, but I think I remember it being referenced in an episode of Frasier once, and I'm pretty sure that's correct. Casablanca?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Casablanca, yeah.
Now, you see, we're doing too well. There's going to be a twist in this tale.
Well, let's see.
We're 3 for 3.
Yeah, well, let's move on.
All right.
Question number four. Again, I would say, just looking at the question, this looks very easy. Who was threatened with Roman Catholic excommunication because of her Like a Prayer video? I don't think we even need options for that, do we?
Madonna.
Madonna.
Well, you're very trusting of this? Why aren't you as suspicious as I am?
Well, I don't know. Perhaps people are more stupid than I think.
I think if the last few years have taught us anything.
Right, question number five.
Yes.
Well, now this looks like it's getting a little bit more complicated here. What was the first computer to be mass-produced? Was it the IBM 360, the EDVAC, the ENIAC, or the Altair? Now, you do all your gaming and stuff. You should know about this.
I've got to say, the only one of those I've ever heard of is IBM, but not the 360 model. I've never heard of that specifically. I don't recognize anything of the other three. So I know that IBM is something to do with computers.
Yeah. So, I mean, that would be my option. I mean, you know, I'm a bit older than you, and I remember computers at school. There was a Nimbus computer. There was a BBC computer.
Have you ever heard of any of the other three in any shape or fashion?
Altair rings a bell, but I think IBM 360's got to be it, isn't it, surely?
I think if we're both certain IBM is to do with computers and we've never heard of the other three, we should stick with IBM.
Right, IBM, I'm going for it. I've pressed it in.
Thank you. There was a step up there, I felt.
Yeah, okay, here we go. I've got a feeling we know this next one because I'm sure we've talked about it before.
Oh, good. See how good my memory is.
Question number six. If I have anosmia...
Oh, yes, I do know this.
I'm likely to have some agoesia. That's no sense of taste, apparently.
Right.
So what is anosmia?
Anosmia is a loss of smell.
Yeah, because it's nos, isn't it? It's like your schnoz.
Schnoz. Anosmia.
An A at the front means not or without.
Lack of.
So lack of schnoz is the...
Very, very technical. I'll send you your doctorate.
There you go. Right. Question number seven. What fast food franchise got its start in a Shell gas station in Corbin, Kentucky, on US 25 to Florida?
I mean, there's a very big clue in the question.
Well, Kentucky, right? Kentucky Fried Chicken is one of the options. There's also McDonald's, Arby's, and Burger King.
I mean, is it not a bit too perfect? There's no way I know this little bit of trivia, but is there no way it's far too... Or is it one of those questions where, oh, you thought it was KFC because it had Kentucky in the question, you idiot. So it's either blindingly obvious or it's a deliberate trick.
Bear in mind, it's an unbeatable quiz. But so far, the questions haven't really put us into any position where we feel it's unbeatable. But maybe
what were the criteria for winning, though? I never asked you that at the beginning. Like, you say it's the unbeatable quiz. You never set out the rules for how to beat it.
It doesn't say. Like I say, it just says the unbeatable quiz. That's it.
All right. Are you happy to go with KFC unless by some way or another you've learned this piece of information and banked it?
No.
KFC?
KFC, let's go for it. Right. Question number eight. Oh, shit. Here we go. Who sang the famous song, Don't Sleep in the Subway? Sugarloaf, Ronnie Millsap, Orlons, or Petula Clark?
Well, I think that's so easy, Trev, and as two ex-DJs, I'm going to leave that one to you.
Oh, right. Yeah, because that's right. We did play some shit when we were on the radio, but I don't...
Come on. We're professionals in the industry. We got paid to play music every morning for 3 fucking hours.
Yeah, but we didn't really, like, listen to it and didn't care what...
There was we'll never get hired again.
Yeah, we had to play some right old shit. But I don't remember this being on the playlist at the time. Don't Sleep in the Subway. Well, I've never heard of any of these apart from Petula Clark. Have you ever heard of Ronnie Millsap? I mean, this sounds like names people have just made up.
What were the names again?
Sugarloaf. I mean, there's Meatloaf. Is Sugarloaf...
Are the rest all puns? Are they all bad jokes, the rest?
Ronnie Millsap. Well, what would that be?
Never heard of Ronnie Millsap.
Orlons.
Never heard of Orlons. Is it okay for me to Google Ronnie Millsap, or whatever his name was? Just to find out if he's a real singer.
The problem is
that cheating?
The problem is, if it's him, it'll come up going famous for, because it's probably the only hit Ronnie Millsap has ever had, because otherwise we would have heard of him, surely.
Shall we go with Petula Clark being the only one we've ever heard of?
The only thing I'd say about against Petula Clark is she was English, and Subway, is that really, I suppose... You do have subways in England, but it's not quite the same. Don't Sleep on the Subway makes you sound like the New York subway, doesn't it? Not like some piss-filled underground passage in Croydon. that we call a subway.
Yeah. Don't sleep at Victoria, it would have been called.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't sleep anywhere in Croydon outside. So,
don't sleep in the Croydon underpass.
So that's the only thing I'd say against Petula Clark, is just the fact it's got the word subway. Ronnie Millsap. Now, that sounds like a proper American. Hey, I'm Ronnie Millsap, and here's my famous song, Don't Sleep in the Subway. Don't sleep in a subway.
That's the sound of all our American listeners deleting the Trevor and Ben show from the podcast app.
No, they're shouting at their iPod or whatever device they're listening. They're going, gee, guys, it's Ronnie Millsap. It's Ronnie. Gotta go Ronnie.
All right. Shall we go with Ronnie Millsap, whoever the fuck that is?
Well, I don't know. Sugarloaf could be American, couldn't it?
Is it likely that they've got Meatloaf and Sugarloaf? I mean, Sugarloaf might be the sort of tribute act for Meatloaf.
Yeah, yeah. Orlons, never heard of Orlons. That sounds like something weird from Lord of the Rings or something. It's Petula Clark or Ronnie Millsap, I think. Petula Clark is the most
You make a strong argument as to why it isn't Petula Clark, because I don't... Mind you, that's not to say she hadn't lived for some time in America or had some American influence.
Well, that's true, and her biggest hit was Downtown, which is a very American phrase, isn't it?
Shall we go? Shall we come full circle? Shall we stick with Petula Clark?
Yeah. When you're alone and life is making you lonely, you can always go downtown, but don't sleep in the subway. Yeah, it all works now. It's all beginning to work. Should we go Pet Clark?
Because it stinks of piss.
La 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 la.
Okay, let's go with Petula.
Right. Petula. Her name is Petula. Petula. Oh, Petula Clark. Yeah, yeah, Petula Clark.
You know what I meant.
Right, question number 10. If a
Petula is the name of her more upmarket mother. Petula! Petula!
Yeah, she's never slept in a subway in her life. She's never eaten a subway. She's never had any connection with subways.
Nothing to do with it, no.
Nothing to do with it. Right, question number 9. If a dozen eggs cost $2, if a dozen eggs cost $2.40, how much is that for each egg?
I've got a funny feeling that this is... written by an American.
Yeah.
For Americans. $2.40 and there's 12 eggs.
Do you want the options?
Well, hang on a minute. No, I can work this out.
Okay.
What's $1.20 would be 6.
Yeah.
So that would be 20 cents an egg.
20 cents an egg.
By my maths. Well, 20, 40, 60, 80, $1.20, that'd be 6. So double it, 240, that's 12. So 20 cents an egg.
Well, that is one of the options.
It's got to be.
20 cents an egg.
Well, but you're welcome to question the maths of that.
No, I think that the math seems to work for me, because the other options are 12, 25, or 40 cents. Well, if it was 40 cents, you'd be looking at... what would that be? That would be much more.
$4.80.
25 would be whatever, 25.
I can't be bothered, Trev, to do all this math.
It's
20 cents.
20 cents. Right, okay, let's go with it. Right, question number 10. This is the final question. Shortly after Grammy-winning comeback with Sexual Healing, who moved back home in Los Angeles? It's a happy question. And was shot dead by his Pentecostal minister father after a fight over missing business documents. Now,
oh, I've heard this, and I will know the answer when I'm given the options.
Well, the wonderful thing is, this is where my DJ experience can come into play.
I know this story, and this is fantastic.
Because I once worked at a radio station where you'd play a song, and a little fact would pop up on the screen as the song was playing, that as the DJ, you could then... use if you wanted to. So it would be like, you know, this song was number one in 1967, Don't Sleep Under the Subway. Yeah. Anyway, there was this station, you'd play a song by this one artist, and this little fact would pop up, shot dead by his father. And I thought, well, there's a happy little fact, but I would always use it because I thought, you've put it into the computer for me to use as the DJ.
Yeah.
And this was at a radio station where I was basically allowed to do what I wanted because the boss didn't give a flying fuck. He was in his office listening to LBC rather than the radio station he was supposed to be running. So I got away with absolute murder, and as did his father. Well, no, his father, I think, went to prison for it. But anyway, the options are Phil Hartman, Sam Cooke, Sam Kinison, and Marvin Gaye.
It's Marvin Gaye.
It's Marvin Gaye. Right.
Sorry, I should say, it's Marvin Gaye, shot dead by his father.
His Pentecostal minister father who shot him dead. And that song was number one. Hope you're having a great day.
And coming up, we're going to play you a song by a man who was shot dead by his Pentecostal father.
That would be a great tease. We were always told, you've got to tease the song that's coming up with some bullshit fact.
I mean, if you didn't know, you'd fucking listen to, you'd find out who that was.
Right, check my score. I'm going to check our scores. Oh, we got 10 out of 10, mate.
Yes!
We managed it. We've beaten the unbeatable quiz.
There was no twist.
No twist at all. Perfect score. You are a genius, it says. Very impressive.
Well, I've got to say, that's quite the anticlimax. I mean, I was expecting a bit of a twist. What we got was a mediocre, quite guessable quiz.
Yeah. Well done, Ben. Anyway. Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Got any recommendations this week, Ben?
I don't from my own world, but my dad has passed on a recommendation he'd very much like to spread.
Okay.
It's a podcast, and it's called The Hurricane Tapes. I'll just read you a very intriguing little bio. It says, a triple murder, 40 hours of tape recordings, Reuben Hurricane Carter, who I believe was a boxer, Bob Dylan wrote a song about him, Hollywood made a movie. This is the full story.
Ooh.
And my dad says it's a very good listen. Obviously, built on quite a grisly premise. Mm. So if you're not into that sort of thing, maybe give it a swerve. But if you are, it's apparently very, very good.
Okay, what's it called?
The Hurricane Tapes.
The Hurricane Tapes.
Based on Reuben Hurricane Carter.
All right, there's one to add to the list. I've got a couple of films to recommend, both Danish films.
Oh.
You've got very noisy chair this week, Ben.
Do I?
Very noisy chair. Get some WD-40. What was going on there?
It's the heat. It must have been. What do things do? Expand in the heat?
It's expanding in the heat. My God. I mean, I can. I thought you were sinking or something. what was going on? Right, I've got a couple of films for you.
Sorry, I'll try and sit still. Yeah, it's always been my problem with you.
I know you do fidget. Because I think even last week I had to edit out quite a lot of chair squeaks now I think about it.
I'll get the WD-40 right. On it, don't worry.
A couple of Danish films to recommend. One that is fantastic, right? And the other one, which is such a good film, but the ending pissed me off a bit.
Okay, that's all right.
But it's worth watching if you don't mind subtitled films, by the way. You need to get around that. They both star Mads Mikkelsen, whose face you would probably recognise from lots of other films. I think he was in one of the Star Wars films.
I will have a Google.
Funny enough, in one film, I knew he was in it, but he was completely different in it. I didn't realise it was him for ages.
Oh, I do recognise him, yeah.
Yeah. So one's called Another Round, which is, I mean, it's such a clever premise. It's about these group of teachers, they're all friends, and they come up with this idea. One of them has read that basically you can drink alcohol to a certain point where you perform brilliantly. You know, it's not being pissed, it's not being sober, but it's reaching that point where everything you do is brilliant.
My right hand to God, I agree to this concept 100%. I used to think of it as this sort of 2.5 point. I could drink 2.5 pints of lager and be, I was the bollocks on the pool table after 2.5 pints.
Right, yeah.
That was the sweet spot. And then after then, you know, when you got to pints 4, 5, 6, and 7, then there was this noticeable decline in the level of coordination going on.
Well, it's basically about that premise, and as you can imagine, it doesn't all go to plan, but it's a really good film. And the other film, again, this is a great film. It's called Riders of Justice, and it's really quite funny. It's very violent as well. But it's really funny. Well, I've watched a few Danish films of late, and what I'm realising is they have a very dark sense of humour. So even though the film can be quite a really dark subject matter, they bring all this humour into it. And there were some moments where I laughed really heartily at some very gory and dark moments. It's quite a paradox it puts you into, but it's called Riders of Justice. I heartily recommend it.
That sounds very good. Did I ever tell you that I finally got around to watching Parasite?
Oh, great film, isn't it?
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I think what they say about it is true. Yeah. Don't bother looking it up or anything to do with it before you watch it.
Yeah,
just
definitely.
Watch it.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a fine film. And I did a bit of reading because often I need a little bit of clarification on the endings of films.
Yeah.
Which makes me feel quite stupid. But I do it and I always learn a little bit something more. I think, oh, that's what that meant. Okay. And I thought, you know what? That was a really great watch. I really enjoyed that. That being said, I'm not sure it deserved quite the level of fuss it got for what was essentially a very good film. That's about it.
Oh, I would disagree with that. I just thought it was a very different idea, wasn't it? I just thought it was so different to anything I'd seen.
It was, and I'm not going to spoil anything. If you haven't seen it, then you can't be that bothered because it's taken me years to get around to it. But No, you know what? I'm going to say what everyone else says. Don't look it up, just watch it.
Yeah, it is a great film, despite what Ben says. It's fucking brilliant. So there we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime, Ratchet and Ben on Twitter. And we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.